Blog Talk Radio.
Guest, and he promised when his second book came out he would return, and as a man of his word, he is back. So we are so thankful to have him here and to bring him to you guys so that we can talk about the book and, you know, how he's grown and all that good stuff, you know, that comes with learning the process and everything. So that was Alicia Keys, as all of you should know or don't know or whatever. Now you do know. That's my boo's favorite author or one of his favorite artists. So, you know, I like to do something nice for him every once in a while. So we play that, and you know how we do. You know how we do. I don't know if he has a poem ready. We brought it back. I started last week. I don't know if he's prepared with a poem or not.
I have poems. I can look for one while you talk. I can do that. I can look for a poem. I got stock, so I can look.
Okay.
I can see what's what.
All right. Well, I'll do my little spiel, and then hopefully maybe he'll have a poem, or we'll try to cut early like we try every week to do, and he can do it mid and in between. We're trying to work some new stuff out. We've got, you know, with our special going right now, we've been hit up by a lot of people, authors and actually musicians for the first time, which we're excited about. Next month, end of the month, we have two musicians coming to you guys. And I keep saying I'm going to put the music up and start playing it for you guys so you guys can start getting familiar with them. One is from France, and the other group is from Iceland. So both gospel groups, totally different styles. One is like a Christian rock, and one is like, you know, R&B gospel. But really, really blessed to have people overseas reaching out to us. So that's like such a huge, huge, huge blessing for us. We're really excited to bring them guys to you. But we're looking for new ways to incorporate all of this blessing that God's bringing to us, you know, with all of these people really, really wanting to get in and everyone liking what we're doing. So, you know, we're looking for new and inventive ways without adding a new show, without going to a third night is what we're going to try to do. So we're going to try to maybe take our hour and a half show and bring you guys two guests, which means we're really going to have to be diligent with our time and things like that. So,
yeah,
we're learning. Check out the website. Check out our specials. Check out our authors. It's not all about us. You know, so check out, you know, our weekly features. Check out the people that are there for the monthly features. You know, support them, hit them up. www.diamondstar.webly.com, W-E-E-B-L-Y. So diamondstarentertainment.webly.com. Check us out. See what we're doing. And check out those that we are helping to bring to you. You know, the different authors, the different businesses, the musicians, there's music up on the page. And everything, our reviews that we've done, they're there. So, you know, check it all out and let us know what, you know, we think, what you think, what we think. Let us know what you think of the website, what you think of, you know, what it is that we do. And you know, let's do this thing. I'm a little tongue tied tonight. I've had a massive migraine, so please bear with me. I'm going to try not to do dead air space today at all. I'm going to try to keep my thoughts fluid as we go through. Hun, did you find a poem?
Facebook wasn't even letting me in.
I don't understand what's with these people, how they just don't want to let you into your own site, and they kick you off your own site, and they just do all kinds of craziness, and you can't get on to the stuff that belongs to you, stuff that you set up, they take over. It's just a mess, man. I'm not understanding what they're doing. But lucky for them, I got my poems. Lucky for them, they're lucky. Okay, well, maybe then, see, they must have heard me now, see? They must have heard me. See, that's the way it goes. Okay, let's see what we got here. I can find a little something, you know, probably christen the show with just a little something. You don't want nothing spiritual, right? No, I'm not going to give you.
We can do.
I ain't going to give
we
you
We can do. I don't know if you have anything gangster, you know,
gangsta.
The book.
Gangsta.
I don't want to say his book is gangster.
Gangsta.
His book isn't really gangster. It's not a thug book. His book. So we don't want to say that. His book is definitely not a thug book, so.
I got a poem called Stop the Violence, but that's.
No, there's no violence. It's really not a lot. It's not a really violent book.
Okay.
So
then,
you know, do what you feel.
I'm gonna do something called Stress Kills. How about that? We'll link somewhere in the kills, okay?
Okay. There you go.
Now, again, this was crazy too. I don't know if y'all gonna like it, but I'm gonna go with it. You wanna hear it? Here you go. I wait. eagerly anticipating my fate and what is to become of me, walls around me closing in. I'd scream if not for the lack of air. Thinner it continues to get. The pain is more than I can bear. I'm caught up in life's ungiving snare, and there's no way out. Help me, please, somebody, anybody. Life's grip is strangling. Days of yesteryears, now a blur. If only I knew, you can. If only you knew, you'd concur. I'm fading. Good luck. Yeah, right. My life, it's evading. Head spinning, my mind unable to focus. Love, peace, contentment, happily ever after. They all seem bogus. Still I wait. Still I wait. No longer able to fight the good fight. My strength is gone, my body weak from life's journey, falling quick. I need air. Eyes wide as I look for a way out, gasping, gasping. Time stands still, gone. For it waits for no one. As I think back and wonder, could this battle ever have been won? I take my last breath, it's done. Then I wake, sitting upright, gasping for air. Wow, it was just a dream, though real it did seem. To some extent, maybe it was. Maybe a warning of some type. Then it hit me, after examining my life. I've come to this conclusion, stress kills. And that's my little thing right there.
There you go.
That's my little thing right there.
See, we're trying to break him out of his shell, so, you know, we try to make him do some poetry, make him do some live reading, and, you know, it's good. We're going to get our boy on the phone. He is patiently waiting. We're gonna bring our boy on the line. Raheem, you there?
Of course I'm here.
What's good, bro? What's good?
Kaya Tony, how are you?
Man, listen, today has been a really, really, I ain't going to fake the funk. I ain't going to lie, boss. You know, I'm loving on you in the whole nine, but my body just gave out on me today, dog. My back hurts. My arms hurt. My shoulders hurt. My head is throbbing like you wouldn't believe. My legs don't want to work right. This is just crazy. My eyes go blurry when I'm looking at the computer, but that's probably because I've been on it for so long. But I don't know, man. I'm like tore up from the floor up.
I'm suffering from the same thing.
But you know what, though? But you know what, Raheem? I'm here for you, dog. I'm here for you, man. See, I got mad love for you, so I'm here for you, man. I was going to go to bed, man. I was going to go to bed, boss.
You can't go to bed today. It's not a good day to go to bed.
Not, because you're on the air, man.
You're going to wait for 420?
Yeah, see? I'm wishing I could go back to my 20s. Oh, my goodness. I had a birthday yesterday, and I was feeling good. I was feeling good, man. I woke up this morning, and it's just like somebody beat me up in the bed. But before it goes any further, Kai did not beat me up in the bed last night. So I don't want nobody to think, because I know Lisa going to be saying, you know, see, that's what happened.
No, but, see, now you're going to have them think it. They know it was your birthday yesterday, so you're probably expecting me to, and now you done told them I didn't. See?
Well, she didn't beat me down. It was a good thing. She didn't beat me down. He really didn't.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I didn't know it was your birthday, but happy birthday. I guess I got to pay attention to more than those birthdays on the side. I got to pay more. I mean, I used to pay more close attention. Every now and again, I pay very close attention to them, but I haven't in a week or two.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's all right. All right. We just want to thank you. You know, because you are a man of your word, and you did return, and, you know, come back like you said you was. So, you know, we love you.
Of course, y'all already know. I love y'all, too. Y'all already know y'all are my favorite fiancés in the business.
I told you we're gonna get that. Baddest fiancé duo on radio. We getting that. That's ours. Can't nobody else claim that.
That's ours.
We're going to get a logo made.
If we got a copyright, we're going to get
I went to City Hall yesterday.
See, no, see what y'all have to do is y'all have to write a book called The Fiancés.
Yeah, see, now we might and put a couple of interviews of people we interviewed. For y'all that don't know, Raheem is the man. I got mad respect for Raheem to the point to where
Raheem
like
is not
I
the man.
I respect his brother. I respect him so much. I'm like, Raheem, you want to be in my wedding?
Don't tell him I'm being in the wedding. Wait, whoa. You can't expose me in the wedding. I was going to keep that for surprise. That was one of my secret weapons.
You don't keep no secret.
Do you know I got secret weapons? You just exposed one of my secret weapons.
I know. See, mind lapse. It's because of the pain I'm in. It's because of the pain, Raheem. That's what it is. I can't think straight because of the pain. It's all good, though. It's all good.
So, I mean, I just heard you, Kai, I just heard you bragging about the weather, but I'm going to sunny Orlando tomorrow, so I should be breezing through Virginia. I'm taking the train. My mom's scared to fly, so I'm taking the train.
But I think it's going to be raining the rest of the week here, though. Today
I
it's
rain.
Like 80-something, but, yeah, I think
I
the weather's
with rain. What,
yeah, I can, too. I mean, I'm not used to this. You know, we're from Massachusetts. It's not this hot already in Massachusetts. So 80-something degrees and have the air conditioner already on, I'm not used to this. No. I'm not used to this
totally
already.
I totally understand.
No,
I
that's
totally
probably
understand.
Why my migraines are not, you know, they're not liking all of this heat. But, you know, we wanted to get out of the cold, and we definitely got out of the cold. So
is that right?
Let's get to this book, because that's why we're here. Let's get to your book. Now,
okay.
let's give a little history, because, you know, this is your second book. This is your second one, and it wasn't that long ago that you released the first one. So how has your journey been from Laugh Now to Contest?
I had a journey. I didn't even realize I had a journey.
I know. It was like you blinked. You know, it was really like you blinked and dropped the second book.
I feel like I have so much more to go and so much more to do. I don't even feel like I have went that far. But I guess in book terms, I really have went far. But I'll say that there were some hurdles in the process. It's like I'm on the 400 hurdle event, and I'm just breaking past the 100 feet mark. I'm just breaking that area there. But okay, let's see. We all know that Tony and Kai, although during my first interview on your first show, that was my very first Black radio interview, and I think I am near 25 total now. That was I interviewed with you back in May, about a year ago. Not
mm-hmm.
quite a year,
just
but
about,
and
yeah.
it's 11, because I interviewed with you at least 3 months before my first book came out in August. I interviewed with you.
Okay.
And I remember how it all started. You were on Facebook saying, I want to set up a live radio show. And I said, inbox, you're like, you know what? You should, and you should make me your first guest. And you said, you know what? I'm going to do it, and you can be my first guest. And there we have it.
There you go.
And, right. And that was the beginning. And I remember I was nervous. And then I met a fine lady by the name of Rhea Alexis. And she called me up afterwards. And I talked to her, I swear. Me and Rhea talked on the phone approximately 4 hours on the phone after that interview. And we just talked about everything. We were just all over the place. It was such a beautiful conversation. And, you know, the purpose of the call from her for us to talk, because she was trying to give me pointers about speaking on the phone and, you know, having some stuff prepared to say when, you know, when an interviewer asks a question. So, you know, afterwards, I'm like, well, you know, I might have to try out her advice. I might have to get on some more radio interviews so that I could, you know, see how prepared and if I could get more skilled at it. And I just went crazy in trying to book Black radio interviews. And then I start getting requests. And, you know, the biggest one is Dr. Maxine Thompson, like, to get an email from her like, hey, I want to interview you. I saw some of your material, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I remember seeing this lady's name in the front of books, you know, in the 90s, editing books for a lot of different authors, Carl Weber, and I think it's Triple Crown. And these are people who I tried to get published through. I tried to get published through Carl Weber's company and Triple Crown as well. So when, you know, the woman who edits that material calls me and says, hey, I got this radio interview. And then on her interview, a man from Cuba called into the show. So she has like an international show. It was like, okay, it's one thing for the Americans to call, but to have someone from a whole other foreign country call into her show and talk to me, it was different. It was something that I haven't experienced like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, again, so it was blog radio. It was blog radio, and then I was AANBC Book of the Month. And then I had to, again, take Tamika Newhouse because making me Book of the Month, I went on to earn her 2010 Book of the Year with two other authors, Tracy B. I respect her a lot. Love Tracy B. And Larry. I love Larry, too. Us three was the 2010 Book of the Year. So it was an experience because her group and her. And when she came to Philadelphia, I met Tamika. We had dinner here in Philadelphia. We went to Atlantic City. We went on the beach together. And again, like Rhea, I just talked to somebody who had a lot of experience. And Tamika at that time was only 24 years old, and I was blown away that she is Tamika Newhouse, and she's, you know, I'm 33, and she's like practically 10 years younger than me. So that was different and interesting to learn. She's a hardworking and driven woman, and her book club is very, 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 very good. And
very. It's grown. Tamika's thing has grown.
To me, it had been grown, but the thing that struck me most with when I did meet Tamika and I gave her a copy of my book, and when she flipped it open, she said, maybe she was joking, I don't know, I never asked, but she said this, and I just took it like as a compliment. She said, wow, your book doesn't look like it's independent or that it was like a self-published book. And because I formatted it myself and stuff, I took it as like a compliment that my book doesn't look ordinary. I took extra steps to make sure that it didn't look that way, and she basically identified that by making that statement. So, you know,
the Laugh Now definitely does it. You know, and we talk about this all the time in our writing groups that self-published authors have this stigma, a lot of it to do with not just, you know, once before you even get to the inside, just looking at the covers. A lot of us don't understand that the cover says a lot, and your cover shouldn't look like you just took some pictures and slapped them on something, and, you know, it should look professional. And it gives the self-published industry as a whole a stigma.
Right. You know, the best thing is I think, and you know what I think about me, I think everyone by now knows that I am very particular. My particular attitude is sometimes described as arrogant or, you know, it depends on who it's coming from, but I'm very particular about that. But sometimes when I get people's books on Amazon, everybody knows if you go to Goodreads, I have over 200 books in my library. I review most of them. I read books all the time. On my spare time, that's what I do. In fact, I just did a review on Cold Blooded by The Ghost, which was published by Infinity Publications with Winner Giovanni. I just finished that book earlier today and posted my review on Amazon. And it seemed to have disappeared, but I got to figure that out. But When I go to Amazon, I am a stickler for doing two things. I look at if there's an author bio, and I look at the interior of the book. And I say to myself, you know, I just flip through what's available, and then I do that little thing they have on there called, like, Surprise Me, and I just see the level of writing or what's there. Because I'll be honest and say this, I'm not a romance reader. I don't like romance. I don't like sci-fi. I am really just into mystery, thriller, suspense, James Patterson, John Grisham, Sue Grafton. That's my genre right there. So when I'm reading something else, I have to really be attracted to something that's going to make me read it, whether or not it's the author or whether or not it's something that I heard about the book. But just on general, I just won't. And Kyle, you even know this, because when you sent me your book to give you some insight, I did with no problem sent you back my notes and how I felt about it, even fix some stuff up. But I know that your book, I will buy and read because it's Kai Rodriguez's book, not because I went out and I wanted to buy a book in this genre, because I don't particularly like that genre, but I would definitely buy the people's books that supports me. So
yeah.
So, you know, I do work extra hard when I do the interior of my book. I don't just look for advice or just read books. I actually sit down. I have on my phone, and well, I erased them now, but I used to go and take pictures of the interiors of books with my phone. And I went to all of the authors who have top-of-the-line publishers. That's who I basically self-teach myself from them. I open their books, and I look at what's on page one, page two, all the way up until the story begins. I follow basically that pattern, and that's why you have the appearance that it's just an ordinary published book. And I even struggled with the cover art contest because I wanted to write a mystery, and I did write a mystery, and I wanted shelved with mysteries. Although I want mine, you know, being an African American lit, but contest, as I sent you your copy, you know, is not a street lit novel. It is an urban novel. It is definitely a mystery. So I had to come up with a cover that stayed true to my ethnic background and the genre of mystery, so I had to go with a little, you know, a little mystery type cover. And I struggled with that because after I had the male contest and to get the models, after I had the contest to get the models for the cover, I'm now having second thoughts. It's like, oh God, I don't really want people on my cover at this point. So it's like, well, I can't let these models down, and I have people who are actually looking forward to them being on the cover. So
yeah,
I
remember you having
plan.
That conversation.
Yeah, I can't change my plan. So now I have this daunting task of going to Borders, and I'm taking photographs of, I'm lying to you. I mean, I felt compulsive, like I was going insane. I have books lined over the Borders floor, like, this is, okay, this is mystery. Then I'm over African-American, and I'm like, okay, this is African-American. Well, no, there's not going to be this lady in a bikini on the cover of my book, ever.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm like, what is going on here? Like, oh, my God. But can my book go over here in mystery? So I go to the store managers, and then the store managers are like, listen, your book will go over here if we receive it, and it belongs over here. This is where we'll put it. We decide, despite what genre the author may want it to be, I have a Borders manager telling me that I place the books, or I have assistants who place the books. And we base the books based on content, based on cover. That's how we place the books. Because I even asked, I said, well, you know, Walter Mosley, he writes in various different voices and genres. And he said, okay, well, Walter Mosley's books are placed according to the genre and the material. He's not just an African-American lit. He's in mystery. Then I learned that there's only two authors in the mystery section that is black. I was baffled. So I know that I have a task, and, you know, joining the Mystery Writers of America, that also came in along in my plan, and, you know, I can't say nothing bad about it, you know. I like expos. I like groups. Please, they have there was a two-day retreat in Connecticut I went to 2 weeks ago, and it was $55, and it was speeches from the best of the best, Carolyn Hart, John Land, James Patterson, $55 for 2 days, you know, we had lunch together, dinner together, and they talked and we had a blast like regular normal people. But you have Black Expo, they're going to charge you $325 for 4 hours.
Wow.
You know, it's amazing some of the things that I see and observe. And, I mean, for lack of better words, I'm oftentimes baffled at the outrageous prices that people charge for events, especially, you know, Akai, because you're in, you can mark my word, and you're in some of the other Facebook groups when you had one point, I think it was Keisha Green who was saying, like, there's a lot of first annual events out right now. Like, there's a lot of first people that's doing things first. And it's like, I myself, I am petrified of expos because I've heard stories that, you know, I can't compete with the author that could buy 5,000 books and sell his books for $8 at the book fair.
Yeah.
And I'm there. I got to pay the same $300 for the table, the same money to get my big posters. Because if I go to a fair, I'm going to go to the fair. I got the posters, the keychains, the pens, the T-shirts,
mm-hmm.
the bookmarks, the postcards, the staff. You know, I'm at the fair.
Well, yeah, I told you in Carla's group, you are my book writing idol. You are in not a hustler in the street corner sense, but a hustler in on your grind, about your business, steadily posting information, not someone that is hoggish with their information, someone who will freely share what they know, you know, with others interested in trying to grow, someone who is professional, you know, who is about the business and who is about coming off as a professional. You know, you are someone who takes this business seriously. This is not a hobby, you know, just something that, you know, Rob's doing. I'm just doing this to pass the time, you know. No, this is his business. And, that you know, this is how authors should be looking at their books, as my business, you know. And you definitely treat it as a business.
Let me tell you something that really, this is one of the things that really separates me. Now, again, there's people who I admire as well. But I will say this, that the people that I do admire, they don't have full-time jobs. They have publishers, and they work off advances, and they work off their royalties because they are making it like that. I don't have a job. I tell this with this all the time. I don't have a job. When you see that I'm traveling somewhere, going somewhere, you can bet all the money that you have that if I didn't get the money from selling my books, I got it from a family member. That's just the bottom line. I don't have a job. I don't go to a 9-to-5. You know, I don't have a guaranteed paycheck coming in. It's either you need to meet this quota, you need to do this and do that, or it doesn't work. And it's just that simple. That's just the bottom line. That's just it. There's no if, ands, or buts about it. If I'm not out doing signings, because most authors know, at this stage for me, my biggest money comes in at book signings. That's just it. So I do them. I do them a lot, and I do them often because that is where I can go and sell the books. So, like, I have no copies of contests. None. Zero, zip, zilch. People's calling my phone as I'm walking in the house to get ready for this interview. Look, I don't have any copies, and I'm going to Orlando, and I'm not thinking about buying copy contests right now, unfortunately. I should be, but I'm really not. I worked hard, and yes, Raheem's going on a goddamn vacation for a change. I'm not taking no books. I'm not selling no books. I'll be thinking I want to have one of my friends change my Facebook password so I can't even log the hell in. I just need to go. I really do. I have sleepless nights, and you know, there's times where I'm up 4 a.m. and I go to bed at 4. I'm up at 9:30. Like, I just can't sleep. It's like I get right up, and my mind just says, okay, I'm up. First things first, Smash Bros. Was there any sales while I was asleep? Kindle Direct. Was there any Kindle sales while I was asleep? I monitor all of that stuff. Like, there was just two days ago, Contest and Last Net was doing very good on Amazon, and they still are, but they were, like, competing, and Contest was 2 books ahead. Contest was 2 books ahead of Last Now. I wake up this morning, I go out to get some stuff for my trip. I come in the house, like I said, And while I'm on the phone with you waiting, I'm checking, and I see that now there's 3 books ahead of contest. So it's like, okay, I really do want contest to sell, but I see Laugh Now still has life, is still breathing very well. So, and I keep forgetting that I have 2 stories. When I'm at a book signing and someone says, which mind boggles me, by the way, I don't want to read that. You don't want to read what? You don't want to read Street Lit? Well, have you watched The Godfather, for crying out loud?
Yeah.
Like, have you watched any gangster films? Like, do you watch any shoot 'em up bang bangs? Then you're watching Street Lit. That's
yeah.
just the bottom line.
Except, you know, so the difference is it's not in the hood, so they don't consider that Street Lit. You know, they consider that.
I had a conversation with someone in another group, in the group that's ran by 21st Street Publishing, Nicole
okay.
and the Nicole and what's the other woman's name? I'm gonna get it. Okay, I'll think of her name. But in the meantime, and I was trying to tell a girl that we have white projects. Her name is Brandy. That's right, Brandy and Nicole. There's white projects in Philadelphia. We have bona fide white hoods in the ghetto, like bona fide. Like, yeah. You hear my grandma in the background? We got what they call white trash here. Period, point blank. Like, we have that here. I don't know what's going on in a lot of suburban areas. Maybe not, but here in this city, I'm not fooled by because the characters are white or they're mobsters.
Yeah.
They're an Italian mob. Are you kidding me? But you see
it's the same
stuff
thing.
On the news. When you see stuff on the news in Philadelphia, okay, let the Flyers or the Phillies or the Sixers, let them win a championship. You know who's downtown tearing the city up? The white folks. Black folks ain't going to jail for that. Black folks is not flipping cars over and burning up. Hell no. No, that's the white folks. So, and I'm not saying in a bad way. I'm saying that simply to say, we have white ghettos here, so when I see white people do that, I'm not surprised. So I don't like when people, especially our people, say, I don't read that. But I came up with a remedy. I wrote contests. So now, if you don't like that, then you like this. But I had a young lady at a book signing last week, and she said to me, I don't read Street Lit. I'm 30 years old. When I was 18, 19, that stuff was nice and it was fun, but I'm 30 years old. And she was over there in the mystery section. I said, you know what? Then you should take this book. You know what I'm saying? I think you should take this book right here. You know what I'm saying? And she took contact. I haven't heard from her yet. And you know what I'm saying? It's like I challenge people to write in multiple genres because you can never limit yourself as far as readership. I told Rhea in a interview I had a few weeks ago, and I told her, she said, well, like basically before contest came out, she said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm making a promise to all my readers, how or when, I'm not going to say when, I'm not going to say how, but I'm saying this, I'm going to write a romantic comedy. I really am. I'm going to write a romantic comedy. And
okay.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to do that because I am just trained to like thrillers and suspense. Like, there's stories that begin with, you know, the background of characters. Me, I like action. I need a clown to be going in the beginning of my book. That I need something to baffle you and to hook you in. But you got some people that write from, you know, I woke up this morning, hi, by the way, I'm Chris, that sort of thing. You know what I'm saying? And that works for some people. That works for some people. But for me, that's just not my style. I've always grew up liking, like, Iceberg Slim, Donald Goins. That stuff used to be like, yeah, like, you in the hood, you a detective, you gangster, you robbing people, you doing this, you doing that. But Donald Goins and I like Iceberg Slim, they knew how to write very well. It wasn't just like, you know, you just writing about the hood, they wrote well. These two men could really write. Walter Mosley, he can really write. That's that, and that's what I strive to do. I don't want it to. I think that anyone could just write a story. Anyone. I think anyone can write a story, because writing a story is no different than you just telling me what just happened. If you were in a bank and you watched it get robbed, you can write it down, and you have effectively written a story. But
yeah,
it takes skills to really craft the story, thoroughly plot it, characterization, good exposition, transfer from one chapter to the next, tying all in the clues, and making sure you're just perfectly weaving this yarn together. That's the part that's not simple. That's the part where you have that's when someone asks, can you be taught to write? Absolutely. In my opinion, yes, you can be taught to write. I learned so many things in school, in classes, that I know for a fact I would not have learned if I never went to school, because I wrote last now with no type of formal education. You know what I'm saying? I had no formal education with last now, as far as from a writing perspective. I had college, and I've always been, you know, a honor roll student, but I didn't have any creative writing courses. And when I was in school, I had classes that were solely for what was one of the ones called? It was one that my favorite one, and I'm drawing a blank right now. But it was about plotting, and all it was about was plotting. Then there was class that was just all about characterization, where, like, and believe me, I used to get tired having three classes that were all English. They were just basically different topics, but they were all English classes. And there was a lot of writing, a lot of what they call spec scripts. And that is when you take, you know, they wanted us to create, say, pick our favorite TV show and write an episode. Yeah, I always did Law and Order or some other legal type of show, because I like legal dramas. That's my thing. And there were people that always did, say, like Friends and Girlfriends and shows like that. And you had to write your own script. And basically, if it was not good, believe me, the professor and your classmates was going to tell you about it. And it was not going to be nice, and it's not pretty, it's not beautiful at all when you're in class and you have this professor just chewing your story to pieces. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
I've been there, and you know, you take it with a grain of salt, and you know, when you
and you got to learn from it. I mean,
that's part of
growing as a writer. But I want to get, we got some callers that have been patiently waiting, and then we want to get to the book, because, you know, we want people to know about contests as well. So we're going to take a couple of your callers, and then we're going to talk about the book.
Okay.
So let's start with 202 area code. You are on the air with Raheem.
That would be Envy Red. What's up, y'all?
Hey, what's going on, Ray?
Hey, Envy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Envy.
What's going on,
Envy? I'm so sorry. I'm going to miss you to Friday, Envy. I want everybody to know Envy will be at Black and Nobel on Friday, and I need you all there to support her Friday.
Yay.
Black and Nobel.
I can't wait. I'm going to be there all day, too. But anyway, let me tell you. Raheem, I am so proud of you. I was just calling in because I am, like, for real, like, you guys, for real. I follow Raheem like we're married, okay? And he doesn't know it. I'm like his underground stalker, okay? Like, I follow Raheem. And I have to tell you, I learned a lot from this brother. And, you know, you guys said it right. Like, there's a lot of people, you know, I'm new and everything, and, you know, he does not shy away from sharing information. You know, he's an open book. You know what I mean? And I got to say, like, congratulations on your new book. I can't wait to get my copies. So,
it's coming.
You know,
I'm sorry.
I cannot wait. So, you know, I just wanted to say congratulations and to keep doing everything that you're doing.
Well, I have to definitely say congrats to you. Although I bought your book, I still haven't cracked it open, because I still have to You know what? I got to be honest and say, I haven't read an erotica book yet. No Zane, no anything. I haven't read one yet.
Oh, boy. It's, you know what? And you know what? It's funny because I was listening to the show and you guys were talking about all these genres, and a lot of people get it twisted until they crack my book open and then they're shocked. Because even though it's erotica, you know, it's very much a mystery. I always, my thing is it's an erotic murder mystery. There is nothing but mystery in that book. So, you know, it's funny that you guys were, you were talking about the different genres and how, Raheem, I heard you mentioning how you've gone to the stores and they'll tell you how they put their books. What I've learned, and I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, it just seems like it doesn't matter what genre you write, you're going in the same section of the store. African-American.
Yeah. Well, no, but see, that would depend on, that you know what, I wanted to test that out, but you got to remember this now, at least at the borders in downtown Philadelphia, they don't call that the urban section. They don't call it street lit. They call it African-American fiction.
Right.
Yeah.
Even when at my public library, my book is in the Philadelphia public library system, and I suggest everyone that's listening that is an author, please go to your local library because they would definitely take your book as a local author. And once they take your book, they have a system. Like we have Ingram and Baker and Taylor. There's a library system called WorldCat, WORLDCAT.org, and it's short for World Catalog. And they place your book in there. And once your book is placed there, you could call any city and say, look, my book is already in WorldCat. Can you just buy some copies for your system? And they'll ask for a copy, a review, or whatever, and more than likely it'll get in there because mine is in four cities just based off Philadelphia, you know, giving me some play. So definitely do that. But in my library, they actually have it in African-American literature, which is okay because I'm next to Brooks McKinney. My last name is Brooks, so I'm right next to her book. So it's okay. I could deal with that. I just don't like when people in general say that they dislike a genre where really, like, you watch movies in that genre.
Right.
That's just the way I look at it. I just think that it's sad when you say that you don't, I don't like that stuff. But it's sad with this, like, nose turned up, like, please, I'm going to go buy me, a Carl Weber book. Like, you know, It's just mind-boggling with me, but, you know, that mindset, that's all I'm trying to say.
Oh, you know, I get it all the time. Ooh, is it Christian? I can't read that. You talking that sex stuff, I get that all the time. But you know what? I tell you, this is what I always say. It doesn't matter what genre you write. Every genre can have a message. Everything
mm-hmm.
can have
yes.
something for you, you know, something for you to give, you know, to the people. Even if it's, you know, a lot of people don't like street lit. You know, it gets a bad rap about, you know, the violence and all this here. But, you know, at the end of the day, I feel like whatever genre you write, you could put a message in your book. You can have something
yeah.
that the people can take out of the book. So,
then
you know,
I'm
with you on that. Yeah.
And every street lit book isn't the same. So, I mean, that would be my
no,
problem.
No, and I don't believe that either. I don't believe
being,
that.
No, with all of us, with just saying, okay, well, you're African-American, so you go into this section, all of our books are not the same, unless you're a celebrity or you're somebody with, you know, that got backed by a major publishing house, then you may get put into the mystery or the romance or the whatever. But, I mean, there's not an Asian section, there's not a Hispanic section, there's not
right.
a Russian section, so why is there an African-American section?
Exactly.
You know, why? There's cookbooks, there's, you know what I mean? There's self-help,
right.
there's mm-hmm. literature, there's, you know, world news, and then there's African-American.
Oh, shit.
Why?
Pardon me. I will be floored if I saw an African-American cookbook in the African-American literature section. I will be no more good.
wait a minute. Coolio, have y'all seen Coolio's book?
No.
I
didn't even know he had
Coolio.
A book.
Yes, Coolio has a cookbook, and it is in the African-American section. I've seen it in a Borders, in the African-American section.
We'll have
so,
to ask
you know,
Sharon. Sharon Fox's book is coming out, and hers is a cookbook. We'll have to ask her what section they put her book in when it comes out, what section her book is going to go in. when it comes out. I mean, most of the cookbooks that I know are all big-time people.
Yeah.
You know, the Neelys, they got a TV show, so, of course, they're not in the African-American section. They over with the cookbooks.
And I bought their book. I had to go and buy their book and at
Barnes & Noble, I think we went to.
Actually, no, it was
Borders.
Borders. I had to get it from Borders, and it's in the cookbook section. It's in the. I'm like, where am I gonna look? Because I had that apprehension about, it's like, do I go to the African American, or do I go to the cooking section? So I opted to go to the cooking, area, and it's sitting right there.
Yeah, I mean,
don't
I
get
think
me
that's...
wrong. I went and looked, and I saw. I didn't go to the nutrition section, the part that they where they have the cookbooks. But when I was in the African American section, that's when I noticed his book, and I'm like, I didn't know Coolio had a book, and I picked it up, and sure enough, he has a cookbook.
I think if we as authors and actually our readers, we tend to just let things go. We complain about them quietly, but we don't complain about them on a large scale, on a national scale, on a open our mouths and do something about it scale. Because, I mean, come on, somebody would have to explain to me why only the African-Americans have their own section. Because you can't tell me you don't have no Spanish authors in your store. You don't have – are you telling me every other author is white? Is that really what you're telling me? Come on.
And we know we have German authors as well.
We got authors of every other race, so why are we the only one that have our own section?
I'm with y'all. You already know. One thing y'all should all know about me, if it comes, when y'all ready to do this uprising against all the big publishers, just please call me. Call me, because I'm going to be at the front with my picket sign taped up, signed up, ready to go.
And I think that's what the issue is that nobody has spoken up about it. We're grateful to be able to get into the stores.
Yeah, at all.
So it's
we
like,
just
once
quiet.
We get in, it's like, okay, I'm in. And that's where the train of thought ends. But now you're stereotyping you once you're in there. So it's like, okay, now somebody needs to speak up. We need to do something. If there isn't a feeling on this, then rather than have feelings, and sit on
our dreams, But we got to first and foremost, we got to be able to respect each other grow together before we even can even make a movement against that. That movement ain't even going to happen. We got some things to do before we get there.
We got to clean the inside. We got to clean the house.
Yeah, that's what we got to do, a spring cleaning.
Yeah,
okay.
We got to do that spring cleaning.
Because we got a couple of more callers. I'm going to leave you on hold, though, okay?
Okay.
Area 2110. 2110. 210. 2110. 210. You are on the air.
First of all, let me say that I think Raheem is cheating on me with Envy Red, and I've been until just now. Like, she was like, I saw Envy Red in Baltimore, and I didn't pick up on, but just now in this conversation, calling herself his wife. What, Raheem? What is that about?
I'm sorry.
I see what you be doing. You playing the field.
Listen, I promise that this is a professional relationship.
Yo, Raheem, you turning this show into something else, man. It's supposed to be a literary show today.
Tony.
Okay, let me change it up real quick. I want Tamika
now so that she can
comment. Hold on, let me back up. Rewind. I decided to call in because somebody said that Raheem gave me a shout out. So I was like, okay, let me call in and support and see what Raheem's talking about. And I want to, first of all, Raheem, I want to give you your props because I always tell you that you do not act like you are new at all. I know that your last name came out like in August of last year, and I feel like you've been doing it. There's a lot of artists that's doing half of what you're doing in the amount of time that you've been out. And I always commend you on that. And I could be watching you, and I'm watching Envy Red, too. That's my side note right there. But I'm really proud of you.
Leave Envy alone, Tamika.
Excuse me?
Leave Envy alone. She's all right.
Matter of fact, put her back on the phone. I want to talk to her. congratulations to you, Raheem. And in Philly, you should have gave me a book. I'm not gonna ride your back about that. You're gonna give me a book next time.
Oh no, I didn't leave you one that day because they had bought all the ones I had left.
Oh, okay. You should. I ain't gonna say nothing.
Now, Tamika, you give me all the advice in the world, and I know for a fact you would not have told me, no, I want one of them, don't sell it. You would have said, no, sell that shit, I'll get a book later. Don't even do it.
Well,
you already
wrong.
Know.
First of all, I would never call it shit like you just did.
Well, you know,
I would have told you. I would have told you to definitely to sell it, and, you know, you could just give me another copy, autograph copy. You know, I would have said that, so I feel you on that. But, you know, there was other instances where you could have, you know, gave me a book. And, you know, there's this thing called the United States Postal Service. I think they ship books. What do you think?
No, but to me, we're not going to do this on the air. I'm not going to let you do this. I'm telling you right now. I'm not going to let you do this on the air, Tamika.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay, I'm done.
Talk to you later.
Oh, one more thing, too. Kai, I wanted to, first of all, let me give you a shout-out, because when you started working with me back in 08, you were doing your thing even back then, and now for you to branch out and start doing your own thing and start doing your own radio show, I'm so proud of you, Mama, and I want you to continue on doing it. And I'm watching you. I may not say nothing, but, you know, I'm watching. I'm seeing everything that everybody do, and I want you to keep on doing it. I'm glad you moved out of Massachusetts, wherever the hell you was, and moved to somewhere where we know that you at. So continue to do what you're doing. And also, Brother Man on the line. What's the Brother Man name? The co-host.
Tony.
Tony.
Really?
Tony. Tony.
Mika.
I'm sorry.
Mika.
Tony, don't be letting folks come over here and overpower your voice. You know what? Tell them, say, hey, this is my show. Y'all talk after
you
I'm
know,
done.
And
that's my little.
See,
that's my
little. See, y'all don't understand. I got a bad back. I can't afford to be sleeping on no couches. Okay?
A bag, bag. Oh. Hey, what you sitting there? What you talking about?
He out of it today. Usually he talks
about yeah,
what
the name
is. So
yeah, I'm just a little not feeling well at all today. But I try to do my thing, and you know I have to give props where props is due, because she handles her business as well, and she does a great job at it. So I know.
Tony.
You know,
Tony. I can't let you off the hook, Tony. No, I can't let you off the hook, Tony. My first interview, we can all play it back. You may have said two sentences. I didn't even know you was on the phone. I didn't even know you was there in my first interview.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I knew
yeah,
I was
brother,
at home. Here you go.
See, I don't get no credit for even showing up as bad as I'm feeling. I could have, like, stayed in a bed and just had her do the show on her own. But, see, I was stepping
up.
No.
You know I would never forget you for that. You know you got to be on the air.
See, that's what I'm saying, and I knew this.
We go get you anyway. Well, see, I don't know how blog radio goes. How y'all set that up. I don't have no interest in being a radio host, but you can't be on the coolest phone doing this. Like, call in. Why don't you call in from your cell phone and go to bed? You can call in. She can put
and
you
that's
on.
That's what I was gonna do.
That's so unprofessional. Do not take that advice. We can tell if you laying down and you done doze off. Next thing you know, we done started hearing some snoring. No.
Yeah.
That's bad advice.
No, no.
Don't do that.
But Ryan,
Raheem,
you know,
I think
I
you should
bad.
Host the show because you almost like a professor. You know, you be talking. I was listening to the interview. You saying these big words. I had to go grab the dictionary. What in the world?
Oh, wow.
You know, Mika, his book, I told Tony, his book, I had the online dictionary while I was reading his book. I was like, Raheem.
Exactly.
Now, you
like,
know,
hey,
what
you
the freak is a
like,
Treyoka?
Whoa.
Don't nobody know what no Treyoka is. What the hell? I'm like, oh, what
did
I get Raheem
my That's the throat part, right? Treyoka, that's
but
the
no,
throat.
But listen, let me say this. Okay, let me defend that portion. We can go right on into my book right now since we're doing that. Now, let me say this.
Oh, yeah, talk about the content. What's going on? What's going on with the book?
We go talk about content. Let me explain this. Now, everybody know where I wrote the book at. I wrote the book still in jail. And when I gave it to multiple inmates to read, I always
see,
ask
you know
them,
what that's multiple. What is that?
I said multiple. Two multiple.
Oh, my bad.
My bad. Now, listen. Now, what I did was I used to ask them, you know, are the words too big? Should I change them? And they all, 100% of any of them that read it, always said no. They actually liked learning the new words. And
that's
what my editor was doing. But hold on.
You ain't
okay,
got nothing
Tamika.
Else to do but look up on a daggone computer
right.
And
yes,
figure out
Tamika.
Some words.
Ho. Tamika, you're the second person to say precisely that answer right there. Exactly. That was the exact answer I got from somebody else that read the whole book. They said the exact same thing. Of course
well,
they don't mind going to the dictionary because they're in jail. They want to learn new stuff, so that's different. So, but I say I'm basically saying it to say that I just, again, I didn't take it to account that it needs to run a little bit more smoother. And I know for a fact that I did have a little vocab problem because I like studying new words. I like different words. And I didn't have to spill that over into the book, but it just happened to go that way because it was a word I didn't really use. So I apologize.
Mm-hmm. You're just trying to show everybody she's smart. But that's all right. I got you.
No,
you
I mean, no. I mean, anybody, listen. I mean, Tamika, I ain't getting nothing past you. So I don't even try to get nothing past you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much.
No, I love it.
I'm
I mean, the word.
I'm talking too much.
Well,
but yeah,
you
go ahead,
Tom.
Mute my line and Raheem, have a great interview. Kai, continue doing what you're doing. And I'm going to enjoy the show.
Okay. Thank you, Mika.
Right, Mika.
Thanks, Mika.
We got one more caller, Raheem, until we get to the book. We're going to get your last caller on air. 312 area code, you're online.
Hello. Hi,
oh,
Kai. Hi, Tony. Hi, Raheem.
This is the wait, time out. Introduction
yeah,
time.
Don't
this
start.
Is the one and only. I do this when she
oh,
called
my
show.
Gracious.
This is when she get a special introduction. This is the one and only Rhea Alexis Banks, ladies and gentlemen. This is the 2011.
Okay, Raheem, I can't stand you. Stop.
This is the president of the 2011 AAMBC Book Club of the Year. Again, thanks to Tamika Newhouse. Her book club named this caller right here on the line, Rhea Alexis Banks, Book Club of the Year. She was also nominated for Reviewer of the Year. Okay? Ooh. I just wanted to give you that grant. Let's not forget she works at a law school. She's a grandmother. She joins, weaves. She does it all. She's a jack of all trades. Rhea Alexis.
We love Rhea.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now, back to your interview.
Wow.
Wow. Wait a minute, my people just signed off. How come they couldn't hear that? Maybe they could have put them in their
place. I think everyone thought it was over at 7, so like at 6:58, everybody signed off. I was like, okay, but wait, it's not over till 7:30. Did you not see the thing at the top? It says 30 more minutes left.
No, they only gave me an hour. And so then I had to sneak them sitting outside the bathroom. But don't tell nobody.
Wow.
But I just wanted to say congratulations yet again.
Thank you.
And I couldn't let it pass without me calling in and just saying, you know, because you missed the important now. You hard to reach.
Are you kidding me? Rhea, we just... Okay, Rhea.
I'm still waiting on that
Rhea.
Call. Don't even go there. Don't go there.
Which call? Oh, yeah, no. Okay, you know what? Time out. Yes, I did get a little busy. My bad. I definitely... Because we have some things to go over. All right. I want everybody to know Rhea is my unofficial assistant. There's nothing on paper. It's not Ryan. We never had a conversation, but trust me, Rhea is more to me than you can imagine.
But I did. I wanted to call in, and now that I got a chance to listen, thanks to my Chi-Town Reading Circle, thank you all. I got a chance to listen, so I wanted to call in first because I listened to the show, and secondly and foremost, because of you, Raheem. I'm extremely ecstatic about your success. And I'll be breaking open context next week, right after
oh, yeah, I saw that lovely Elizabeth Funderburk review.
That book is good, but I ain't gonna go there.
It is good.
I'm not gonna tell you. I'm gonna surprise her. I'm gonna review it too.
That book
it too.
is so good.
Yes, I got to write up my review on her book, too.
That
I loved
book is
it.
Good.
Yes,
that,
I loved
that
it.
Book, that book was on the T and Kai, you know, the Tony and Kai top shelf. That book was hot. It was good.
You know,
definitely
any time a book can touch you in
mm-hmm.
so many different ways, it's like, oh, what the hell? I was sitting there. I got mad when people start interrupting me, and I'm on CTA.
Where does she live? What city does she live in?
Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And I'm sure she's in the chat room blushing.
Oh yeah, she is. She's there. She's in the chat room. She said, "Thank you, Raheem."
Well, hi Elizabeth. Since you're listening, I just want to tell you one thing: that when I come to South Carolina, we gonna do a signing together. How about that?
You know what? If y'all give me enough notice, I'm gonna be in South Carolina too.
Nope, I know. Ooh. Don't do that. See, what we should do is, I'll tell you what we gotta do. You gotta host us in Chicago, Rhea. That's what you gotta. We gonna talk, Rhea. You ain't get to Chicago. That's what you gotta do.
Wow.
See, I gotta wait till this summer so we can do a triple. It will have Beautiful. We'll have Love, Torn and Thunder, and we'll have contests.
Oh, wow, what an eclectic mix. Oh, I love
that.
Well, I'm going to let you get back so you can tell people about your book, and I'm going to hang up, and then I'll see if I can sign back on in the chat room if nobody's in the
office. I need to get in the chat room. That's where I need to be at. I was in there for a
Oh, your chat room was pop. That chat room was popping today. I'm like, ooh, look at that.
I'm going to the chat room now.
But again, congratulations, and I will talk to each of you all at another time.
All right. Thanks, Rhea.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. Rod, you got another call. You want me to take your other caller?
What's the area code?
They just pop it up, 602.
I don't know what that said. Go ahead. I can't get in the chat room. Where's this? Why don't I see the chat room thing? I see all the stuff.
I don't
stuff.
Know why the chat room. You got to refresh your browser. Refresh your browser and it should come up.
Yo, it takes me like half of the show to get on my own show.
Melody had a problem getting on too. So, but 602 area code, you are on the air.
Hey, what's up, Raheem?
Hey, what's going on? Who's this?
The poet Delano Johnson. I just wanted to call and say what's up.
Oh, what's up? I'm shocked to hear from you. What's going on, man,
just checking you out, listening to all these comments, listening to the book and stuff. It sounds real interesting.
Alright, I'm gonna have to give you an introduction. This is Delano, ladies and gentlemen, and he is a poet, and he runs a group on Facebook that I am in. It's a poetry group, and every now and again I'll pop in there and read some poetry when it comes on the screen. It's called The Movement by Delano Johnson, D-E-L-A-N-O Johnson. So whenever you want to read some poetry, he is, listen, you don't think we got people in the writer's group? This brother right here got 1,055 people in his poetry group. So,
wow.
Tony, and I mean, what, Tony, I'm about to add you right now.
Thank you. I was just about to say that. I was like, dude, please add me, please.
Since you just kicked that poem, everybody.
I want everybody to add themselves. It's really serious. It's more than poetry. I want to reach out to all the young people. That's why it's so many people. It's not really authors and poets. It's more so young people, and you know, all the young people I got just on Facebook randomly. You know, I want them to be a part of what you can see positive, not just the negative. Let's go have sex on Facebook. Let's hook up and let's go do this. Let's show them something positive. You know what I mean?
There it is.
There it is.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
So, like, well,
said,
you know.
The movement, we going live, too. Like I said, it's way more than Facebook. It's not just a group on Facebook. We getting the shirts made right now. We out getting videos, you know. We with the homeless. We with the children. We with everybody. It's way bigger than Facebook. We just haven't brung it all out yet, you know.
Well, and you got the – I know you always invite me to listen to the poetry contest when you post up to vote for the best one and stuff like that. I kind of don't do it no more because you be entering yourself in it. I'm not biased or anything, but your stuff is usually the best material, so I think it's unbalanced. I think you should remove yourself when you do that.
I don't even put that stuff up there. I got other people that actually work on the website with me, And so they put it up there because they think it's funny. I actually vote for everybody else other than myself and try to get people to encourage people to go in there and, you know, vote for other people because I already know, you know, what my stuff is. I want other people to be encouraged to, you know, step up and do it. People are scared to show their stuff, like, out to everybody. It's like almost like a secret, you know. Not the actual poets, you know. It's a lot of poets out there really doing their thing. But, you know, I'm trying to really reach out to the younger generation and the people that's not really, you know, don't know what.
Oh, wait. You're barely 25 yourself, brother. But
I'm 23.
You're not even 25 yet. So you had to take your hat off to him for that. He's not even. You got to take your hat off to him for that.
We're going to have to look for, like, a hand clap and download it. That's what we're going to have to do.
I would like to put it
out there now and, like, to possibly have you on the show. Because I love poetry. I have a heart for poetry now. So I get on and I'm going. Now, I'm not one that'll stand in front of people all of the time and do it. Kai's trying to break me in on that. But I love writing it. I really do. So I'm excited about when we get off of this call. I'm going to go check out the Facebook
please
page.
Please check it out.
But I would love to have you on the show at some point.
Oh, I'll be on the show.
Set that up.
Y'all are good people. Just let me know.
Yeah. We'll have to hit you up. I got to talk with my better half and see what she got for scheduling. And we can get back to you on that one because I would love to have you. I would love to have you on the show.
I'd love to be on the show.
Thank you.
But just let me know.
Alrighty.
Definitely. Thank you so much for calling in for our boy.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Raheem, for the love and the support on the webpage and the movement and everything, man. That's very serious.
I told you this. I'm adding, at my awards next year, I'm adding Poet of the Year. I'm adding that in, too.
I got that comment, and, you know, I built these webpages myself, and so, you know, the technical issues, and I actually had to delete the comment because it wasn't working, so I had to put it back on there, so it's not on there no more, but I got it, you know, and I read it. I was like, man, thank you. I appreciate that, man.
I'm adding that. I'm adding Editor of the Year. I'm adding those two.
Please,
there you
man,
go.
Put me in the votings. Put me in the votings. I'm right there, man.
Kai's on my committee. I don't think you are. Tony, you're in the committee? You're not on my committee. Kai is on my nomination committee.
Okay. Yes.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, Kai
is. How are you going to break the team up? That's foul, Raheem. That's foul. See, now my demeanor is just sunk. Now, you know, I was starting to feel a little better. Now I feel the headache coming back and everything.
Wow, man. Listen,
wow.
I need to get to this chat room. I can't get in this chat room. I'm getting irritated now. I'm about to start the medication.
It's a blog talk radio thing. And Melody, you know, she had the same. She was texting me on Facebook, like, I can't. Where's the chat room? I don't freaking know. It's up because there's people in there chatting, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it was
I see
packed.
That it's on air. It says unfollow messages. What the hell is going on?
Did you hit the button that the red button that says on air?
No, I'm hitting it now.
Okay.
Here we go. 17 minutes remaining. Let's go. I'm in the building, people.
All right, we got one more call. Let me get to you. We ain't gonna have no time to talk about your book.
No, who's this caller?
It's not envy unless you call it from another line. It's another 202 area code. 725 are the first three numbers. You're on.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. This is Chris. I'm actually calling to say, Raheem, first of all, congratulations. This is Chris.
Oh, Chris.
No,
that's Chris.
I told you guys I was nervous, but I actually built up the nerve to actually call in. So, excuse me. But, yeah, I want to
see, they don't even know who you are.
I'm coming, though.
Tony, guys, do you know who he is?
No.
Okay, here we go. Christopher Clark, he wrote the novel Till It Happens to You. It's his current piece coming out. He's in, you can mark my word, he's in the group with us in the Facebook author group.
Okay.
And
cool.
I kind of gave him some, you know, as usual, I'm sure he can attest to the fact that I was very, as usual, liberal with helping him and information. And his cover, when he first showed me his cover, I said, dog, it's kind of bland. It's just not working for me. And I hooked him up with my graphic designer, and then he has a whole new cover. And when he posted it up, he got a lot of compliments on it, so. Of course,
you
know.
Wow.
That's my boy.
Yeah, right. He's definitely one who is willing to share his resources, and you know, if he's definitely someone who will definitely not steer you in the wrong direction. He helped me out a lot. He's he's definitely a good guider. But yeah, I'm looking forward. I haven't picked it up yet, but I'm looking forward to reading contest. I'm sure it is something I'm definitely going to enjoy. So congratulations, keep doing your thing, and let me know when the third book is ready.
Definitely. The third book, you know the third book is, I work on that every day. You already know.
I got you.
I got my 1500 word goal, because if I don't get a last name sequel to these people, I may get hung up.
I'm ready to hear what contest is about. Let me know what it's given, man, so I can just run out and pick it up.
We're going to take these last 15 minutes. You got 15 minutes, Raheem, to talk about your book.
I got 15
minutes.
But
I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining because, you know, that just says how loved you are and everyone wants to call in and, you know, and talk to you and, you know, and congratulate you. But that just says, you know, who you are as an author. But I definitely want you to take these last 15 minutes and talk about contests.
Well, okay, let's start by saying this, that contest is my project after I took, like, my first few semesters at college. And, I mean, everybody knows that I went to L.A., and I went to UCLA, and I studied film TV. But that was after I had already written Last Now, because people... Even when people read Laugh Now and Then, they say that makes a good movie. It sounds like a movie. And when I went to film school, it was because I said to myself, this is like a movie. So I said, I should go to film school and learn how to write movies. And we all know that I was a bad kid and I was a bad boy over there in L.A. And I got arrested in L.A. And so what else better to do when I'm trapped in the area around gang members, and I'm not a Blood, I'm not a Crip, I'm not a Serenia, I'm not a Southsider, I'm not a Northern, all these things going on, and I'm like, I ain't getting wrapped up in this, I'm going home, I ain't losing my life with no white-collar crime, I got these dudes, they never going nowhere. So I said, man, I'm about to write me a book in here. And I did. And that's what I wrote Last Now. Contest. But let me tell you a little bit about Contest. Kite, you have already had your copy. You read your copy. I sent you yours and all that stuff. You're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
Contest opens with a crime. And in the second chapter, the individual that commits this crime, he reports to his probation officer. And while there, the Secret Service is there to arrest him. Now, the reason why that area of the book is seems so authentic because that is precisely what happened to me. I had my first federal case. I got out of jail. I hadn't learned my lesson. That little 18 months wasn't enough. So I got out and I did more crime. And so I reported to my probation officers office, and the Secret Service arrested me. And I'm like, damn. But they let me out on bail. And I'm like, really? Bell? Wait, I'm on probation. They let me out. I'm like, oh, my God. No, they got to catch me when they can. Mind you, Catch Me If You Can is my favorite movie. This is like at the height of Catch Me If You Can is going on. I'm like, you can't tell me I'm not Frank Abagnale in the millennium. You know, so I'm like, I'm not going back to jail. They got me twisted. So I go to get my truck out of storage, and I forgot that the Secret Service took my money, and when they took me down to the marshal's office, when they took me to the marshal's and, you know, for them to process me and everything, the marshal said we could take his property, but we can't take cash. So the Secret Service left with my cash. So I can't get my car out of the parking garage, and the lady's not letting me through for free. So now I'm stuck downtown. I'm like, what if they made a mistake and let me out? What if there's some glitch or whatever? So I'm petrified. I'm like, it's cops everywhere downtown. I have to get from downtown. And, you know, I call one of my friends, and he's like, I don't have a car. I'm like, well, damn, I need money. He said, but I got some money. I said, definitely could, you know, get you home. So he said, I'm going to get my neighbor's bike. He gets on his neighbor's bike and rides, you know, maybe 3 or 4 miles, and I'm jogging to meet me. I switched clothes up in the car. I had some gym clothes in the car. I went and changed into my little sweatsuit, and I'm just a regular jogger downtown. He meets me. I go to a friend's house, and then I say to myself, man, I'm not going home ever again. To hell with that. So I went on the run, and I fled to Los Angeles, and I created a whole new me in Los Angeles. Now, the funny thing about this is that content opens the same way. I used exactly how I left, and I wrote that in the opening two chapters. And then part two, that character is named Justice Lorenzo, and you fast forward 4 years later, and then you meet a character by the name of William Fortune. Now, William Fortune is the type of author I would want to be. I molded William Fortune based on the future me. William Fortune has 4 movies that has been blockbusters. All of his books are on the bestsellers list, and that's William Fortune. And he meets Justice Lorenzo, and Justice Lorenzo basically says to him, hey, I can feed you plots and stories, and you just pay me. And that is going well for them. That plan is going well until the day Justice decides he wants William to write the real story about why he left Philadelphia. And William is like, I'm not writing that. Please, I've been giving you money for years to stay on the run and hide. And it's rumored that you committed a murder. I'm not going to jail for being an accessory after the fact because you want me to write a true story about what you did. Are you insane? So, there comes the conflict now. Now, for lack of better words, Justice is basically saying, like, you know, you're going to do what I said do, or there's going to be a problem. There's going to be consequences. So, you know, William is like, you know, well, whatever. Like, you're a petty con man. I'm not too much pressed about you, pretty much. I'm going to do what I want to do and write how I want to write it. And if you don't like it, then that's just too bad. Well, that all changes when he's kidnapped and his wife is forced to do the unthinkable to get the ransom money. And she's forced because she's given specific directions to get the money. And when William finds his $15 million has been wired to Luxembourg and he can't get access to it. And he's ultimately scammed out of all of his money, something that he's been writing about. And now he's been a victim and there's nothing he can do. And he's calling this foreign country, and he's talking to them, and he's like, you know, I'm an American author, and my money has been stolen and wired to the country. Well, Luxembourg isn't a part of the great United States system of money. They can basically say, the hell with you. We're not working with you. We don't care about the American government and their financial system. You know, this isn't where you wire your money to. This isn't the Cayman Islands. So... Mm-hmm. It's that sort of thing. So it's so many different intricate things going on. And William has this lovely wife. Her name is London, and she's a model. She's a model agent. She used to be a supermodel, but now she's just an agent, and she's basically forced to rescue her husband once he is kidnapped. And you know, you see some terrible torture scenes, but he fights through it all. And maybe he survives. Maybe he doesn't. You're gonna have to read the book to see whether or not
We don't give away the ending on this show.
No, we don't give
away
the ending.
We don't do that.
but I mean,
contest
say,
is like a book within a book. You're basically,
right,
you're like reading two books.
Yes, I was just about to say that. The good thing about contest is this. While you're reading the story about Justice Lorenzo in the beginning, before it forwards 4 years, you begin to read William Fortune is writing a novel, and it actually is showing you all of the events that led up to Justice going on the run. What did he do when he left the PO's office and his friend met him and gave him money? Well, in real life, let me tell you about the real life situation, because this will mind boggle you. The real life story is I actually left, went to my friend's house, and I decided I was going to go on this big big spree, and I was going to get all the money I could get, and I wasn't going to jail. I was going to live good, have a bunch of dough, and I'll just make more money while I'm there. Well, I take two friends with me, and when you read the book, you'll see exactly how this go down. Long story short, we both go into a store, and we're supposed to commit a crime in three different departments. But there was a problem in one of these departments, and while I'm at the counter about to pay for my stuff, I see one of my friends darting through the aisles of the store out the front door like a running back with two white security guards chasing him down. And I'm like, oh, hell no, what's going on? I get outside, my truck is gone. He's not driving the truck because the person that's running out the store can't drive. Well, the third person had already caught wind of what was going on with him and had already left. So, meanwhile, I'm in no man's land, New Jersey, with no vehicle, just my cell phone, this fool on the run, and don't know where my truck is. And once again, I'm so arrogant that I don't even have cash in my pocket. All I had was my phony ID and my phony counterfeit materials, but my real wallet with all my cash is in the glove compartment of my car. So wow. Now I have this dilemma where I need to get a hold of somebody and see what's going on. But there's another problem.
Wow.
There's another problem. My friend who left with my truck, I forgave him for telling on me in another situation. So I know if he's caught, he's going to tell why we are in this area of New Jersey and what our plan was. He may have even given them the detailed MapQuest directions to go from store to store for us to commit the crime we planned on committing. So I put all that in the book, and it is, when I read it in the book, when I read it myself, I think that I did a hell of a job heightening the suspense and drama there, because you are really experienced. I mean, I was stopped by the police, put in the back of the police car when they couldn't find my friend. They're like, you know where he is? I'm like, no, like, I really don't. I had to cry. I had to, you know, I pretended like I was just distraught, and I'm saying to myself, I wanted by the Secret Service, because at this point, this is about a week later after I was arrested. So now I have my lawyer calling my phone, Raheem, your PO wants you in the office, because the bail condition was to get out on bail and then report directly to my PO's office to get instructions to maybe come in once a week. I said, I'm not going to report to her office. Fuck that. She may change her mind by the time I get back there. I'm out. So I got the PO calling my phone. I got the lawyer calling my phone. I got the Secret Service. Like, we got your money. Come get your money. Keep that shit. I'm out of here. So,
yeah.
And I got to say this, that when I got out of jail after committing this, once I finally did get caught some 4 years later, how about this? The Secret Service lady kindly had my money and welcomed me to her office and gave it to me 4 years later.
Wow.
So I have to say that contest is very, very intriguing. I think when I read it back myself, I'm like, sometimes I'm bad for myself. I forget about little twists that I put in there, little sentences or little quirky little things. It's like, damn, I forgot all about that. That was hot. So, and again, it's like two books in one, because you're following William's life with his wife, London. They have a beautiful life. They're millionaires. They live on a track in Beverly Hills, and it's right across from the Ivy. The Ivy is where, let me see, all the famous stars were there in L.A., but the latest thing you probably remember was Eddie Murphy coming out of there with Johnny Gill when they were supposed to be having an affair or whatever was going on. But it's that restaurant. All of the celebrities go there. And like I said, it's they live right across the street from that restaurant. So they live in a loft, and they can look from their loft down at all the mayhem going on outside the restaurant with the paparazzi there looking at celebrities and stuff. It is a very intriguing story. It's just, like, very, very interesting. And if you wanted to know all about identity theft type crimes, they're all through there. If you want to commit the crime, you can go ahead and do it. If you want to learn how not to be fooled, you
We've got We got about 30 seconds left. They're asking, where can they get contests from? Is it out?
Yes,
is it available right now?
It is available on my website, www.raheembrooks. I'll put it in the chat room. But it's also available in Kindle store. And it's only $3.99 in the Kindle store contest. Last now is 99 cents. And I must say, I'm doing fantastic with those sales at those prices, I must say, for all fellow authors listening. I'm doing a hell of a job with them numbers right there. So, contest is, and mind you, I have 3 5-star reviews. One of them from Adrena Turner, and everyone knows she never gives 5 stars.
Oh yeah, she's a hard one.
Yes, very hard. I was shaking when I sent her the PDF. So,
well, we thank
everyone
you
for listening.
Yes, and you know all of your great supporters. You know we. We thank all of you guys for tuning in and supporting Raheem, for supporting us, for tuning in. As always, we love you. Stay blessed. We'll see you on Monday with Sharon Fox, 6 p.m. And Raheem, best of luck, sir.
Best of luck, dude.
Of course. Thank y'all so much. Oh, and one last thing, if anybody's still listening, I want everybody to still vote for me. Go to my webpage. I'm nominated for Most Creative Plot and Best Couple for Last Now. Go to my webpage. On the homepage, there's a link to vote for me, www.raheembrooks.com. Go there, vote for me, and y'all have a nice night.
God bless you.
Good night.
All right, I see you. Well, I guess we're off the air now.